This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Penguins with arms.
And NVIDIA releases CUDA 5.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for October 19th, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Tiffany filled in for you last week. Are you all in withdrawal? That's the first podcast you ever missed, man.
Yeah, it was a weird Friday for me. Yeah, first one. Tiffany did a great job. You guys did a great job. Happy to have her. We'll have her back soon.
I liked having Tiffany on. Go on vacation more often.
Thanks. I would love to do that. So, kind of an interesting week. You actually went over to a local show in Santa Clara for a storage networking world. Kind of fill us in on what went on there in the worlds of bits and bytes.
Yeah, well, SNW is a conference. It's not a heavy HPC conference, but we've been covering it more, not only because we have clients in the storage and networking side, but because of big data is really bringing more of a performance viewpoint to a lot of enterprise customers. There's a huge overlap with big data and HPC now. Yeah. So, you know, in the big data track, there were some more talks around performance and scalability. There were some more traditional HPC vendors that we're starting to see show up at this show. So it's not just that it was local. I was at SNW in Dallas this spring also when we were out there dodging tornadoes. No tornadoes this time, fortunately, out here. But, Cray showed up and some of the SSD vendors. Chelsea maybe had one of the more interesting announcements, you even covered it in HPC Wire with they've got what they're calling a unified storage motherboard, which is not just an adapter. It's what it sounds like. It's a board that does a storage subsystem.
Right, that was interesting to see them come out with a full, basically, right, a storage motherboard with lots of storage on it. Actually, quite a bit of capability. And yeah, I mean, point taken about SNW, it seems like the storage arena in general is sort of being reinvigorated by big data. There's a lot more to it. It's integrating a lot more vendors and interest as we go along here with the big data application world coming on.
Yep, and we're meeting some new companies while we're there too. I got to meet with some people from Skyera, which you and I talked about a few months ago with their solutions. There's another company that's just kind of coming out from being secret called Archaeologic. That's another enterprise class SSD or flash company, and I'm looking forward to getting a more full briefing from them soon. So an interesting show, definitely worth a little bit of my time to go talk to these vendors and some of the end users on that side.
Well, excellent. Yeah, on the other side, but there's still news on the more traditional side. We had NVIDIA come out with CUDA 5.0, their release. They had the release candidate out, I think, since GTC earlier this year, but this is the full release. It's official now. You can go to the site, download it. It's a production version.
Yep, got CUDA 5. CUDA 5. I was just talking to NVIDIA this week about the success they've had with getting development for GPU computing. And the heart of that success is with CUDA and the fact that you can adopt it from the low end. A lot of the newer programming models that we've seen are so focused on the upper echelons of supercomputing that you never get a grassroots kind of thing going. This has come at it from the opposite end, where you can download CUDA to your laptop with an NVIDIA GPU and start experimenting. And here's CUDA 5 with the latest iteration of it. So tell us what's new, Michael.
Well, the newest thing, I mean, basically they're supporting the new Kepler K20, which has all the new fancy dancy features in it for HPC. And maybe the biggest thing is they've added something called GPU callable libraries, in which you can basically build libraries, routines of packages to that are callable from the GPU side that are running natively there. Before, it was mostly like you had libraries and they were all on the CPU side. You linked them. There was a CPU application that was driving the whole thing. And all your library calls were done. Even if they did GPU things, they were initiated from the CPU side. Here, it's like they're getting more and more. They're on the GPU. They need less and less of the CPU. And these are actually right. callable. And anybody can make these. NVIDIA's already got their BLAS library out there as a callable library. And third-party libraries can do this now, too. So they're going to start to build up these true, what I would call true GPU libraries with this new release.
Yeah, this is something that at first blush sounds like it's kind of down in the weeds, but in reality is a very important transition point, as you said, in terms of getting more of the application running on the GPU itself. We've kind of approached this from the traditional standpoint of accelerators where the CPU on the server is the one that's launching and running an application, and then you have a call from the GPU, from the CPU to the library right. that says run this calculation or process or thread on the GPU, and it moves it out there. Now you're going to start to see this transition where if the GPU has its own memory system and its own library calls, that really it's the GPU that's going to launch and run the application in the long run, and it transitioned things back to the CPU as necessary. Now, in order to do that, it's either got to be a small enough application that's going to live on one node, or you're going to have to handle the remote memory access from GPU to GPU, which is also a technology that's been in progress, but it's still this interesting transition where NVIDIA's invested in having the GPU more in control, and you need less and less from the CPU. You go to a thinner CPU.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the trend we've seen. And then you talked about, right, the node to node, but they've actually added something in this version that helps that and gets the CPU out of the loop as well. The thing they started a while back called GPU Direct, and now they've got right. this RDMA version, which does it even better. So you don't need the CPU if you want to talk between GPU memory. You can just do it, you know, kind of peer-to-peer, and even across another PCIe device like a sensor or an InfiniBand adapter, you can go right to it without interfering without calling up the CPU to manage that. So, yeah.
But it's still kind of a one-to-one arrangement. It's more puts and gets than it is, you know, a wide-scale global memory scheme.
Yeah, at this point, that's very true. But you do see this overarching trend that the GPU is getting more and more independent, and the programming model is following suit. It's getting more like a CPU programming model, more conventional, you know, libraries, independent compilation, all that sort of thing. It's feeling more like a more traditional programming architecture to developers, and that's a big deal for people who are writing like large applications or reporting them. It's much easier to do now.
Well, we're talking about this fueling a thinner CPU trend. Let's take a break and then relate that to our other story that's in the news regarding penguins with arms.
Mellanox's end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect products, consisting of ConnectX 3 adapter products, the comprehensive SwitchX family of fixed and modular switches, software, and cables, deliver industry-leading performance, scalability, efficiency, and economics for the best return on investment for performance interconnects. Mellanox provides its worldwide customers with the broadest, most advanced, and highest performing end-to-end interconnect solutions for the world's most compute-demanding applications. For more information on Mellanox's end-to-end connectivity solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering, visit www.mellanox.com.
Well, Michael, we were just talking about this trend toward thinner CPUs that might be enabled by NVIDIA or other GPU computing models. And meanwhile, in the news, we had a story out of Penguin where they've got now an ARM-based server that they've released.
Yeah, they just came out with that this week. A little bit of a surprise. I didn't even know they were working on this. This is their first ARM-based server. Everything else has been x86 up until now. And they're using the Calxeda chips. That's a company I think we've covered a couple times. Yep. They're making ARM server SoCs for this micro server space that's kind of coming on now. And Penguin picked up their latest SoC. They've put it into a box, a 2U box, and they can fit like I think 12 of these modules and 48 servers in like a 2U enclosure now. So it's quite powerful from that point of view. And they're aiming this at, it's sort of what the other microservers are being aimed at, sort of this web hosting, cloud computing, and especially the big data / data analytics market. It's really good for that sort of thing.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. This new server is called the UDX1, where UD, they say, stands for ultimate data. And they're looking at big data as the big breakout market here.
Right, exactly. So this is for applications that are not copy bound so much as I/O bound. So it's all the stuff, you know, we talk about Hadoop and even the other sort of models for big data where, you know, the CPU ends up waiting for data to arrive a lot of times. And it's sort of wasting the extra gigahertz doing that. So the idea here is to come in with much sort of less powerful cores and much better balance to the speed of the I/O. And in that sense, you save a lot of power and a lot of space doing that. So you just sort of have that better matchup. So it's more tuned to a data-intensive environment than, let's say, an x86 Xeon or an x86 Opteron would be.
Yeah, well, those Xeons, those Opterons are still going to be the performance champions where we're going to see those continue to dominate in these traditional HPC areas. So I think Penguin's right to look at this primarily as a big data sort of play, but you know, that's no shortage of opportunity, as we've been saying over the, you know, last several months that we've been researching this, and big data is absolutely a major area. We're going to find high performance technologies, not necessarily in the sense that you think of with these heavy flops, but the heavy IOPS, the low latency, the high bandwidth, the I/O throughput, and to see a company like Penguin, which does have enterprise customers, by the way, coming out with this straddle product that's based on ARMs is definitely an interesting play.
Right, it fits in well to that. I mean, they're basically split across the enterprise and HPC space at this point, and they have this product can actually apply to both of those. And we see data analytics used in, obviously, in HPC on sort of on the opposite side of the computation. That's sort of their approach now. They think people have to do analytics on the simulations or the gathering after the computation's done, and they can have these more efficient systems sort of doing that in the same data center after the heavy computations are done, and it fits well. I mean, there is this controversy right now. People talk about, should we be doing data analytics on the same machines as we're doing computations and technical computing? I think that's still to be worked out, but this is sort of an interesting differentiation. There is that idea that the architectures can be very different, and you might get, you know, very interesting advantages out of that, especially in this case, the much lower power, the much denser form factor, that sort of thing.
Well, and one thing I want to quickly mention is we rode into this story on our segue from the NVIDIA story. This is not a GPU box, right? This is this is not being positioned right now as a GPU computing, but I think it's still relevant in terms of populating the space with ARM-based servers that could later have GPUs added if you wanted to, in theory, reposition this for something a little more flop-heavy.
Right, exactly. I mean, NVIDIA obviously has talked about their future ARM plans in the Project Denver, where they're going to integrate ARMs with their GPU technology. This happens to be pure ARM CPUs at this point. And Penguin just sort of came out first with it. But, you know, we should mention they're not the first company to do this. I mean, we've talked a little bit, I think, about HP sort of dabbled in this. They've been talking with Calcita, the same chip that Penguin picked up. Boston Limited has a very similar box that the Penguin has, and they're continuing to develop even more advanced boxes. So there's going to be a lot of players in this space, and as we see this overlap between enterprise and HPC on the big data side, it's going to be an interesting way for some of these companies to navigate that.
Well, let's talk about the dynamics this throws into the processor space, right? Which is something you and I have been talking about since supercomputing last year, that we wanted to see how things started to play out this year. in the processor wars. So here we are talking about these ARM servers coming out and NVIDIA's newest CUDA. Meanwhile, Intel and AMD both had pretty bad week on the earnings side, and one worse than the other.
Yeah, I mean, AMD actually lost money. Intel, for a bad report for them, is they didn't make as much money as they thought they were going to make.
They missed expectations, but are still profitable. Right. And they're citing, as AMD is, as HP was, trouble in the consumer sectors and at the low end with PCs.
Right, the PC side is undergoing a big change now, and yeah. It's hitting those companies hard right now. But
every person who decides to go with a tablet instead of a laptop, and you know, there have been a lot of those.
Yeah, exactly. And that plays into the ARM story, because a lot of those tablets and smartphones and all these consumer side things
on ARM.
Are ARM, or a lot of them are. And even I think we're going to see in the upcoming years, even some of the, you know, desktop systems are going to be ARM systems. Now they've talked about that. So there's, you know, the industry is shifting on both sides of the equation right now, and ARM looks to be, you know, quite the upsetting factor for Intel and AMD.
Well, it certainly is lowering the volume for these x86 processors. Now, Intel, their release was not that bad. They're making money, but there's a question about fab capacity, and, you know, are they going to continue to run these at the capacity they've had before? And if you go down in volume, is that going to change your cost basis? That's the majority of the market. AMD is unfortunately the one that's really on the ropes. They've lost nearly $1 billion in the last 12 months.
Right, and they just also announced another 15% layoff in the workforce across the world. So,
top of the last layoffs they did almost a year ago. Last November, they had layoffs, and now they've got another 15% coming.
Right. They're struggling a bit. I mean, Intel, like you said, I mean, they just had a worse quarter than maybe expected. They made a measly, I think, $3 billion. So just change for them. But they're both hurting. And then you see, you know, companies like Calceta come up. I mean, obviously they're not a big company now, but they just got $55 million in new venture capital funding to fund this roadmap that they're moving towards 64-bit ARM. And there's a lot of excitement around that right now, obviously.
Now, I'm in no way ready to look at that and say, well, here's the clear trend and ARM is going to win and x86 is going to die. I think it's way too early to make that kind of conjecture. You know, Intel is still out there with an awful lot of processors and is a big company swinging away.
Yeah, and they're looking at the microserver market and the low power market, and they're being very aggressive there as well. And like we both know, they've got a lot of resources to throw at that, so it's not going to be any slam dunk for ARM to come and start eating into Intel's market at either end of the spectrum. But it's certainly got a lot of people interested in it, and we see companies like Penguin and you know, HP and Dell, not with Calceta but with Marvell, looking at ARM chips and starting to put them in real products. It's an interesting development.
Yeah, sounds great. Well, you know, as always, we'll see how it plays out. We're getting down to the countdown to supercomputing here. It's less than a month away till SC.
Yeah, too soon. But yeah, it'll be an exciting time. And yeah, a few weeks away. And I know there's a lot more news coming now between now and then that we'll obviously be covering in the weeks ahead. But
yeah, there's a couple of them that are getting on our calendar now. People want a pre-brief for their new technologies that'll launch before SC, so I know we'll have a lot of news.
Yes, we will. Okay, well, we'll wrap it up and we'll do it all again next week, Addison.
Hey, thanks. Welcome back, Michael.
Thanks.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Mellanox Technologies, the leading supplier of end-to-end FDR 56 gigabits per second InfiniBand and 10 and 40 gigabit Ethernet interconnect solutions for HPC and cloud server and storage clustering. www.mellanox.com.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.